I'm Mike Hebert, owner of Cantex Roofing and Construction. Every day is game day, and we'll get it right when it comes to your roofing, construction, windows, and mirrors. Call Cantex Roofing and Construction today. Together, we are one serving you.
Bringing you the truth, or something like the truth, this is the Bottom Line Podcast from 100.7 The Score.
Hey, what's happening? Happy Monday. Good afternoon. And welcome to the Bottom Line on 100.7 The Score, 107thescore.com, and the 100.7 The Score mobile app. Brought to you, as always, by our friends at Happy State Bank. Alongside Matt Esteson, I'm Choice Woodman. Clint Scott back behind the glass taking care of us. You can hit us up through that mobile app, Yates Flooring Center chat line. Which the app you can take just about anywhere with you. Even listen in up in Turtle Creek, Pennsylvania. If you so choose. It's probably a real place.
Hey, say Matt's name again. I was loading a page.
Matt Esteson.
Oh my gosh.
I was wondering.
Yeah.
Just having to work on something to get that up.
So, we didn't even need that. You could have just continued on.
Hey.
All right. Got to start off the Monday a little better than that. All right. Well, it was a rough weekend if you're a Tech baseball fan. There was that. Basketball is in the tournament, so we like that.
Yeah.
Got Super Bowl odds as of March 18th for next year. So we'll get into that. Look ahead to the Rangers this year. Lots to get into over the next 3 hours or so. How was your St. Paddy's Day yesterday?
Uneventful.
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 So you didn't hit up the bar, drink green beers?
No.
Take Clint around with you to show off your giant leprechaun?
No. I'm much more of a homebody.
Okay.
The bar scenes
was
left me
a time
many
in your
years
life?
Ago. Okay. Yes. Yes, 21-ish to probably 25.
Okay, so St. Paddy's Day was an event or just
every
whatever?
Sunday.
Every Sunday.
Friday and Saturday was an event to go out.
Okay.
You?
No, not much. I wore a green hat just so I didn't get pinched, and that's about the extent of my St. Paddy's Day. It was more about sports. Watching Tech baseball, watching the selection show, which I am glad they have expedited this so much compared to what it used to be.
Yeah.
Used to, they would have like a 2-hour show and not reveal the bracket until like the last 15 minutes or something. It was now they get right into it and give the people what they want. So much, much better on that front. But pretty uneventful. I will say I was raised in a very sheltered life up in Dumas, Texas, and didn't really know how big of a thing St. Paddy's Day was to some people until I was in Dallas for the first two rounds of the NCAA tournament. What would that have been? 2017? 20? Yeah. Wait, which one? 18. 18, when Tech played there against Florida and SFA, and just rode the train to get to American Airlines Arena on St. Paddy's Day. Holy cow.
Yeah.
It's a different world out there.
It's wild.
Lots of beer, vomit.
Lots of beer with green dye in it.
Yeah, some ladies that treated it like it was Mardi Gras instead of St. Paddy's Day. Just very... very different. Didn't know that was a big thing until I went to a big city.
Did you throw beads at them?
I did not. Oh. I did not. No.
Yeah. No.
I was trying to get to the game without having any beer spilled on me.
That's what I meant, like as a weapon.
Oh. Yeah. Of course. Of course. No. So, y'all can share your St. Paddy's Day adventures if you'd like on the Yates Flooring Center chat line.
More I watched the Players' there. Championship yesterday. That was my same.
Okay, yeah, I did some of that as well.
Scottie Scheffler with
holy cow,
another what? W in the book.
What an amazing finish he had to that tournament.
What's crazy is how far he is behind of like having to consistently do this to be on the Tiger level still.
Oh yeah.
And like when you say Scottie, if anybody that watches or somewhat, you know, has an idea about the PGA, I mean, like it feels like he wins almost every week now, and he is, you know, he would have to continue this trend for so many years.
Oh yeah.
To be on that level. But yeah, another W for him.
Have you watched the Full Swing thing on Netflix?
So I watched like the first four. I watched his.
Okay.
But yeah, I didn't finish it. And they came out with a new season, I think, even.
Yeah, and I think Aberg's supposed to be featured in one of them. I haven't watched the new season, so I think he's supposed to be one of the featured people on this new season. But no, that made me – I hate that he's a Longhorn, Scheffler, because it made me like him a lot. Like
he seems very grounded.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, no doubt. So Texas a six seed in Pittsburgh.
Too high, too low.
That's what I was going to ask you.
Oh.
I'm not going to say too high. Well, it depends what you're saying. High is in
– Flip those. Yeah. But
I would say in my biased state that it was underseeded.
Okay.
Should have been a five seed, and I'm just going off of resumes of teams in front of them.
Like being tied with BYU, having Kansas ahead of you? Like those would be two that
the Kansas
pop up.
Thing, I realize you get some from the logo. I understand how this works, and they had a better non-conference record. At the same time, Kansas, if they're Texas Tech, I think they get a five seed. If their resume is what it is, I think they get a five seed.
Kansas didn't get the FSU football treatment. Hey, your stars are injured. We're going to have to knock you down
to about a
14 seed.
They didn't drop them down to way down. But as far as Tech's resume goes, Tech's resume is better than Wisconsin. Sorry. I mean, it is.
And they're a five seed, correct?
They're a five seed. You cannot put Gonzaga in there. They absolutely got the logo treatment. Gonzaga should not have been a five seed.
St. Mary's is a five?
St. Mary's, you feel that's well-deserved? At least they had a better overall resume, and they won the regular season title in the West Coast Conference. Who won the – St. Mary's lost in the championship, right?
No, they also won.
Oh, they won. Okay, so they won both.
St. Mary's I thought was very valid.
Yeah, I thought they were much more deserving than Gonzaga.
I thought you could have made a case for a three seed for St. Mary's, so I had
– No problem.
Yeah, three to five for St. Mary's I wouldn't have had an issue with, so
– Yeah.
So, felt pretty accurate where they landed.
You know, honestly, I saw a lot of these, and I felt like this is the most botched job in seeding that the committee's done in a while. I felt like there was a lot that could be that were way off their lines of what they should have been.
The Mountain West, they got treated. Well,
Utah State was projected as a five or a six almost everywhere.
It made it so confusing again. Like, okay, what metrics are you actually using? Because it felt like on some teams they used and this is the problem every year, but some teams they used the net to defend where they put them.
Exactly.
And then other teams are like, didn't care about the net at all.
You get the committee chair to get up there in front.
Do that with KenPom too.
In front of the camera, and they'll sit there and defend something on one team and use the exact opposite against the next team that didn't make the tournament or that was seeded lower. It's a thankless job to be there to begin with. But man, how the heck is Texas a seven seed? Logo. I mean, they're an eight at best, if not a nine.
Mm-hmm.
There are so many things. There were several teams left out that were very much deserving of getting in. Yeah, this felt like the most botched job in a while by the committee. Y'all can chime in.
It'd have been nice to be a six seed in a different part of this bracket too. I don't like the chances.
Yeah.
Of escaping.
We'll get into that. The matchups, the potential future for Texas Tech. Headlines are coming your way next. It is The Bottom Line till noon on 100.7 The Score.
Getting to the point, but taking the scenic route to get there. This is The Bottom Line Podcast from 100.7 The Score.
Glad to be part of your Monday. You're listening to The Bottom Line on 100.7 The Score and 107thescore.com. 100.7 The Score mobile app. What do we have on chat?
That's a good one.
Clint enjoying his Lucky Charms soaked in green beer while watching the selection show Sunday. Yeah. I mean, seriously, that I don't even think you photoshopped this.
No,
this one looks real.
Yeah. Where were you, Clint?
I was at my wife's aunt and uncle's house.
Mm. Looks like you're pulling your life vest for the Titanic.
I'll be honest, like when I first looked up at it before I clicked in enlarge the picture, I thought it was a military uniform.
I don't know what the one of me from Bullfighter is. I mean, is that like the Rock with the leprechaun suit on and my face on?
That's what it looks
like. I think that's
the Rock pose.
It's like the Rock pose with the necklace and the turtleneck and everything.
It had a Joe Burrow vibe to me.
Okay. Okay.
Which would be a compliment, right?
I mean, I guess. I don't know.
I mean,
if he's pretty
successful,
his money.
If you get his money.
Well, either one, Joe Burrow or the Rock.
Yeah, if you get either one of those, I mean, you could.
I'd be okay with. Yeah. Yeah, either of those. Y'all keep hitting us up. Whatever you got, bring it in on the Yates Flooring Center chat line. So you said you didn't care too much for where Texas Tech was in the bracket. Six seed, not terrible, but
no,
you'd rather be a six seed somewhere else.
I don't mind the first game, but I think that, yeah, I just going, you know, your second game, yeah, I don't like our chances. And coming off a NC State team that's won five, you know, they've clearly clicked. They've won five of their nine, so they lost four in a row and then turned around and said, oh, hey, we figured it out. Let's go win the ACC tournament.
According to Las Vegas, Texas Tech has the best draw of the six seeds.
I saw that.
Not necessarily that, but you have the largest line out of the three teams, four teams. Texas Tech, a 5.5-point favorite.
Yep.
South Carolina in the 6-11 matchup is a 1.5-point favorite over Oregon. New Mexico is actually the favorite over Clemson. They're a 2-point favorite over Clemson. And as an 11-6, and then BYU about a 4-point favorite over Duquesne right now.
I feel like as a region, like the Midwest to me would have been a little bit easier overall to come out of.
Oh, the Midwest is a mess. It's going to be really fun to watch, but it is an absolute
crapshoot. Yeah, I just feel like that would be the easier, you know, as you continue assuming that you win.
I think the Midwest is the most difficult to predict. They're all difficult to predict, but the Midwest is the most difficult to predict. The easiest or the best regions for the higher seeds, I think that is the East to me. UConn and Iowa State feel like they have probably the best routes.
I feel like they're on a
Illinois course. Illinois might have something to say about that, but I feel like you're going to see top seeds come out of that one.
Mm-hmm.
But the Midwest, McNeese, wouldn't be surprised to see them in the Sweet 16. I mean, Will Wade and what he's got going there, wouldn't be shocked at it. Heck, Kansas could lose to Samford, and it wouldn't be shocking. I wouldn't pick it, but
they shoot it really well. That's alarming.
Yeah.
I feel like Purdue losing it is inevitable.
Purdue, and that's the thing. They put the one and the two in there are two teams that are always seemingly one or two seeds in Purdue and Tennessee, but they're always teams that fall short in the tournament.
I think you can go 1-4 because Creighton has that stigma too, and then Kansas, it's like they're either a Final Four team or they don't leave the opening weekend. That's what that decade has seemed like for them. So it's funny that the top four seeds – all have a similar feel to that, like where you just go off of recency bias with the entirety of years and years and years of playing the tournament. But recency bias, it's like, oh, I don't trust that team. Oh, but I don't trust that team. I got burned by that team last year.
Yeah, I don't. That's the most difficult one to predict. If you're going to predict something crazy, that's probably the one that you could do it out of. But
I think four brackets I've already filled out. I think I have Creighton coming out of – I know two of those. That's who I'm leaning with right now.
Okay.
You know, I know as you make more brackets, you can't really say you're leaning into them if you're just constantly making 37.
Well, as long as you have the one true bracket and the others are
the bracket of integrity.
The bracket of integrity.
That's the one. Yeah. That's literally what I have mine labeled as, the bracket of integrity.
That's it?
I've got 12 of them out so far. So far, like, I've, you know, always admitted that I have a problem when it comes to the bracketology. I'll once I get done with my 25 allotted from ESPN, I'll go to Yahoo, which I go to once a year, and do theirs or CBS Sports or whatever, and I'll...
Who out of your... What'd you say you got 12?
12.
12.
All right, let me see. Hold on. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Yeah, I think 12 right now.
Who's the winning school out of most of them?
Houston.
You've got Houston winning most of them.
Yeah, now they're all done. Like, I've run three of them through a simulator.
Okay.
And it's a weighted simulator, so it does it based off of seeds, and that's how it works.
Ooh, what did the weighted simulator have Tech ending as? What round?
Oh, man. There's three different runs through it. One of them was lost to Kentucky. One of them was North Carolina winning it all, and Tech getting to the Elite Eight and losing to Houston. And the other one was North Carolina winning it all, and Tech losing to NC State in the first game. So, yeah, it all varies. I've got, so far, I got the first look bracket, which was the very first one, without thinking about it, just clicking.
Okay.
Just picking that way. And then the bracket of integrity. What I want to happen bracket, which is obviously Tech, and I've got them running through Duke, because beating Kentucky and Duke will be a lot of fun on the way to a...
Revenge for Bancaro.
A Final Four. Yeah. Yeah. So there's that one. And then...
You said you got UConn a few wins.
UConn...
That's the popular pick right now on ESPN is UConn. You too? They're 25% of the brackets right now, or little under 25% of brackets filled out have UConn being the winner right now.
I think now here's the thing. It obviously doesn't always work out like this, and actually rarely does. I think they are the most complete team going into the tournament right now.
That means they're not going to win.
Yeah, I know. That's why. Yeah,
usually that means that's
what I said as I was writing it down. I was like, "This isn't going to happen."
Yeah.
UConn is now at 26%, Houston at 12, and North Carolina at 11% of the three dominant forces of people picking.
Which is funny. And that's what most of my brackets are.
Are they? I've got Iowa State coming out with one of them.
I haven't yet. They will end up.
Yeah,
when I do my mascot bracket, they're going to be the winning it with the Cyclone. I've got a proximity bracket.
You are. It's like a bracket. It's a brisket bracket party. Come over to my bracket party.
I want some brisket right now. No, proximity to my house. So every matchup, the one that's closer to my house wins that one.
Wait, so are you going by team that's closer or by, like, it's in Pittsburgh? No. So that one's way far away.
Team, the school that's closer. So that is Texas Tech.
Is that Tech winning it all?
Against, can you guess, the next closest school to us?
Ooh.
It wouldn't be.
Baylor?
It can't be.
TCU.
It can't be.
TCU's in the Final Four.
It can't be TCU because they're in the bottom side. It's got to be on the other side.
Yeah, it's got to be on the other side.
Oh, New Mexico.
That's right.
That's it.
Tech versus New Mexico.
I'm trying not to cheat over here.
so yeah, proximity. I'm telling you, I'll go through
that
some
would be
coin
the
flip
funniest
brackets.
National championship game ever, and yeah, those are both talented teams. Just the theory of
the thought of
them being so close would just be very funny to me.
Yeah, it'd be great. It'd be great. So there's a wheel thing that I'll spin. There's the coin flip classic there. Typically, I'll have kids throw darts at the dartboard.
Okay.
And we'll go off seeding for that.
You do the dog in the dog bowl?
I haven't done that because that would take a lot to, like...
God, that's a lot of time and a lot of
setup.
You'd have to do a 1-2.
So you just have to do a top and a bottom on each one, left, right, whatever.
Oh.
So.
You've got some work planned out.
Yeah, or...
Before Thursday?
Before
Wednesday?
All before Wednesday, so...
Okay.
Well, I mean, I'll... I got till Thursday morning. So.
Yeah.
All right. You can tell us if you've got a sickness like me and chime in with that on the AIDS Flooring Center chat line. We will get to Kaylee's Daily. Coming up next, more of your thoughts after that on 100.7 Score.
Bringing you the truth, or something like the truth, this is the Bottom Line Podcast from 100.7 The Score.
Thrilled to be part of your Monday. You're listening to Bottom Line on 100.7 The Score and 107thescore.com, 100.7 The Score mobile app, which you can carry just about anywhere with you, even listening up in Pittsburgh, Texas.
Been there.
I bet you have.
Been there a bunch. Yep.
That's East Texas, right?
It is. That's what I thought. With no H.
No H, yeah. If you throw an H in, they're going to be upset.
Yep.
Probably. Mm-hmm. Keep chiming in. Thoughts, the comments, the questions, the different types of horses you know. It's all welcome on the AIDS Flooring Center chat line. Not horse names, just types of horses. Horse names are welcome as well. He's Jamie, I'm Choice. Clint Scott back behind the glass taking care of us with you for a couple more hours today. We'll talk more bracket stuff. We'll talk Texas Tech and the matchups or potential matchups. We'll talk Texas Tech baseball, as long as Jamie doesn't throw things at me for it, because a bit of a rough weekend.
That's fair.
Yeah,
that is definitely a fair comment.
Definitely at the plate. It was a rough weekend.
Yeah, ultimately it comes down to winning baseball games, and you only won one out of three. So
yeah, not fun.
I'm going to make that. I'm going to say that you're right, and that is rough.
Yeah, I mean there were good things from the weekend. You pitched it better than you have in a while, or
yeah, there's
your first shutout of the weekend or the year.
Definitely some good things on that side of things.
But quite frankly, you went up against the last place team in the Big 12 and lost two out of three. The only good thing, it's not like something you get to celebrate or cheer about at this point, but doesn't feel like you're buried. Like 2-4 this time last year with 24 games, it may feel like you're way back, way behind the eight ball, but because of what's happened with other teams projected towards the top of the league and the fact that you got six more conference games this year, there's still time to turn it around.
Yeah, so we would think that, right? Because we all think, oh, look at TCU. They're worse than you are, right?
And, right.
Golly, what a surprise there. Oklahoma State, they're off to a slow start and all that stuff. And those were teams that were picked, you know, with you or in front of you. But you also have to look at Oklahoma and go, well, maybe Oklahoma's for real, and they're not going to come back to the pack.
You got to consider that, yeah.
Yeah.
6-0 right now?
That's a possibility, yes.
So – yeah, it's definitely a situation where you don't feel good after the first two conference series. You're sitting at 2-4 and probably at worst expected to be – sorry, not at worst, but probably expected to be 4-2 at this point, I think, going into the year.
I mean, I thought the series with the Longhorns was a coin flip just because they looked like they're really talented. It was played at home, so you could lean that way that you were going to win it because of that. So
yeah, I think my expectation was 4-2 because even if you lost one to the Longhorns, there was about the same amount of chance that you could sweep Baylor on paper. Now, yeah,
maybe,
but you didn't do either, and now 2-4. So. The bats never really get going. Five total runs over the weekend. Really frustrating with the rain. Man, how rough was it for you? I know we're not talking all about we're talking baseball, but that's the most maddening thing ever, right? Like that when you're sitting there in the booth waiting for games and not knowing what's coming, and it being like if your team's winning, it's much more palatable, right? Yeah. If your team's playing good during those breaks, those rain delays, you can say, all right, at least we're rolling right now. But sitting through a couple of your worst games, especially on the offensive side this year, that's got to be pretty rough, right?
Yeah, it wasn't great. It wasn't a lot of fun. The Sunday factor, and you know that you have like a 6-hour drive after it's over with.
Exactly.
And you do a morning show the next day.
Yeah.
So every minute that you're sitting there watching the rain is another minute of sleep that you lose.
Did you take a nap at all? Say, Gus,
during the game?
No. Gus, you monitor, watch the field, see if they're taking the tarp off. I'm going to kick back over here. And
I actually had some work that I needed to get done, and I was prepared for it. I was ready for it. And so I actually found good use of the delays. And,
oh, so you're ready to roll for Abilene Christian, all
right. That's exactly right, and BYU too. So, right.
All right, not too bad.
Oh, I thought it was like drawing out three-pointer drills or something like that.
No.
Yeah. It's like, yeah, well, that's okay. So, Tech loses. We'll get into that a little bit as we roll along. But the
can't wait.
The Red Raiders fall short in Waco.
Want me to give you a preview
of ACU?
No, of when we're going to talk about it again.
Yeah, okay. Go ahead.
You got to hit the ball. You got to hit the ball better. You got to score runs.
Man,
5 runs is not going to be enough for a weekend. So write that down, Clint. Okay, you got to hit the ball better. 16 hits not going to be enough. 5 runs not going
to
be enough.
You know what's frustrating to me is that you never adjusted. Like you never. And I know this is way easier said than done, sitting here in my sports talk studio.
Mine.
Yes.
Wow.
I'm claiming it. Very posh.
That Woodman money owns the studio now.
The First studio. United Bank. The very posh First United Bank studio. I meant to say sitting on my butt in this sports talk studio, but it came out that way. You know, Freudian slip, whatever. I don't know.
Yeah, sure.
Not yours, Jamie. Mine. Sitting here in this sports talk radio studio, it's really easy for me to say, but you're still having home run cuts over and over. I mean, how many balls in this third game did we see that are pretty easily out? Most of the time in most parks. I know Austin Green hit one. I know.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. So,
And Baylor hit a couple too.
Yes, but I mean, so for the weekend, there were 4 or 5 balls that died on the warning track that I think are probably out in Lubbock. You know, maybe 3 or 4 instead of 4 or 5. I would say
it's closer to 4 or 5.
And I would say Baylor probably had a little bit less than that, but close to it too for the whole weekend, right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, baseball's, you know, you say home run cuts.
Oh, I know.
Okay. I mean, it's not like, okay, so if you want a single, you should just do a little check swing, okay, and just swing slower.
Right. No, okay. I get it. I know what I'm saying, but.
You're swinging, but I would like to see. I would like to see not every guy in the lineup, but I'd like to see you try to be able to, you know, catch a defense off guard by trying to bunt for a base hit every once in a while. And again, I'm not telling everybody to do that. I'm not looking for Kevin Bazell to do it, but I would love to see Tracer Lopez or Gage Harrelson do those kind of things so you could get some traffic on the base paths and try to do more things that way. I would love for you to. I mean, this team has been good running the bases as far as stolen bases. I'd like to see them be a little bit more aggressive and see if you know, if the defense can make a play against you. So I think there are things that you got to get more aggressive on, and then I think there are other things where you just got to be more consistent hitting the ball hard somewhere. It didn't feel like there were a ton of balls that were hit hard, and I think Baylor's pitching staff definitely deserves some credit for
that. Sure,
they do. I think they kept the Red Raiders off balance, so kudos to them. They've got some good young arms, and I guess we now sit back and hope that they do the same kind of stuff to other teams.
Tell us what you think. We'll get to some more of those thoughts coming up. It's the Bottom Line on 100.7 The Score.
Bringing you the truth, or something like the truth, this is the Bottom Line Podcast from 100.7 The Score.
Thrilled to be part of your Monday. You're listening to The Bottom Line on 100.7 The Score and 107thescore.com. Choice Woodman and Jamie Lint here in the First United Bank studio. Not my studio. It's all of our studio.
Oh, you sold that in the break. Look at you go.
It's amazing, isn't it?
Oh, Next Chuck Hines.
Y'all hit us up. Thoughts, the comments, the questions.
Oh, that's who we were shaking hands with in the hall. Okay.
Oh, welcome on the AIDS Flooring Center chat line.
Shaking hands and kissing Jayhawks.
That's got to be a sin. It's in the Bible, right? Second Deuteronomicals says, do not kiss a Jayhawk.
Thou shalt not kiss beaks.
It's got to be it. Shelly asks, can we get someone to bring an actual horse to the station the day of the Derby? I would love to see each host try to saddle up.
Mm.
I have short legs, so it is hard to get on a horse.
Do I get a step stool?
Yeah, that's the catch. Get the kid's step stool, however, Jamie.
Or we could do Air Elite style, and we could set up a little trampoline and get you guys a running start. Maybe do a flip in there.
Who would be the most... Who would have the worst... Never mind.
Collier.
Collier would have trouble, but it's Chuck. There's no question. Chuck would be the one to get on the horse backwards. Maybe Clint should call the race while mounted on a horse. Okay. There's that. Jamie, how did one of the worst offensive teams in the nation outscore you so bad against our pitching and our offense?
I mean, they scored 12 runs. Did they really outscore you so bad?
So what was the stat on Tech coming into the weekend? How many games in a row had you scored at least 7 runs?
14 straight.
And yeah. You scored 5 for the weekend.
Yeah,
hitting a wall as you could possibly do.
It was that's the only thing they hit. But
didn't get it there. Warning track, just.
I don't know that you can. think that you can say that they totally, the Bears totally out hit the Red Raiders. I think they out pitched the Red Raiders.
Mm.
And again, they scored 12 runs in 3 games. It's not as if their offense was terrific. I mean, I would say your pitching was very good this weekend, besides Mac Hewer and Ryan Free.
Yeah, I guess so. I mean, they still scored.
And I think it was a little bit of bad luck for Free. Hewer just did not look comfortable from the get-go.
I don't know. I guess because they scored 5 and 7 in the last two that it still feels a little more inflated. Yes, there's the shutout on the front end, but
you're going to win a ton of baseball games giving up 6 runs a game in college baseball.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I can't walk away from this weekend and look at anything other than your offense.
Yeah.
I can't do it.
It's not defense. It wasn't defense this weekend. I mean, it was just your offense.
No, it's just you had a horrible weekend at the plate.
Do you think we have a horrible offense?
No, I don't.
Okay.
No, I've seen enough.
And I would say that none of us think that we all forgot that the team forgot how to hit, right? And that's why I'm like, and that's why I just feel like, and it's just like in basketball, right? All of a sudden, somebody, you know, one or two guys have a bad day, and it's contagious.
Yeah.
You know. Okay. Well, in baseball, sometimes it's that way in baseball.
Sure is.
I do not want to take anything away from Baylor. I think they have some good arms. I think they can really pitch it. So you saw in their first Big 12 series against Houston, they didn't give up. They gave up about 10 runs. Okay, so I'm not saying that you should compare yourself to Houston, but I'm saying their pitching staff is pretty good, and so they pitched it well, and you didn't swing it well, and shocking to all of us because we're so used to Tech's offense being able to score runs. Add to it that they play in a ballpark that plays massive, okay? And add to it that your offense is built upon hitting 3-run homers, and it was a recipe for disaster there for the Red Raiders. I didn't think that they would be able to slow down Tech's bats that. I really did not.
Tech is a team that's built on hitting home runs, yes, but that hadn't been exclusive this year. You've been a good hitting, a doubles hitting team, really the last 2 years.
Sure.
You've driven doubles to the gap over and over, and you had very little of that this weekend.
Yep.
Very little, and that was frustrating. And you had very little hits in general. Did Tech ever have a hit with a runner in scoring position?
0 for 15.
you're not going to win. I mean, it's as simple as that. You go 0 for 15. I knew the stat going into the week or going into Saturday or Sunday. Man, I can't even get the games right. Yeah. Anyway, but I didn't know. That's rough. And I think you're on to – I think you're exactly right, Jamie, when it comes to why it feels even worse. Why it feels – one, Baylor was the last place team coming into the weekend.
I'm sorry. 0 for 16.
Oh, thanks.
Sorry, my bad.
Got it.
Got to
get that extra one in.
Got to 0 for 6 yesterday.
So why it feels so bad to me, at least, Jamie, is something you kind of alluded to. It's just like football, right? We're so conditioned to offense. We're so conditioned to – but baseball has been the same way for really in the Tim Tadlock era. Not necessarily at the beginning, but, I mean, you've brought in some massive bats in the last 7-8 years – and you're used to outscoring teams a lot of times. You've had good pitching with included there, but most of the time it's offense that has won you a lot of games. So I think when you have a weekend like that where you absolutely hit a wall, I can't remember a weekend like that in Big 12 play where you have just you scored 5 runs in 3 games.
Yeah, no, I can't remember that in the Tadlock era.
And you're right. That ballpark is already big, and it played even bigger this weekend. Seemed like the whole time with the heaviness of the air and the wind blowing in a lot. And
I'll say this, Choice, and I'm not trying to be. I know you guys see me as the Choose Joy guy. Okay, I'm not trying to be Johnny Sunshine Pumper. Because there was no sunshine in Waco.
Like the whole time.
Pretty much the whole weekend. And there was no sunshine coming back thinking about the games. Okay? And there's no sunshine right now.
Where's the butt? I'm waiting on the butt here.
Would you feel better if Tech had averaged 8 or 9, 10 runs a game and lost a series? Or would you feel better?
No. No, I don't feel any better.
I would feel worse.
I'd probably feel worse, yeah.
I would feel worse
because I think the offense is coming back.
That's exactly right. Yeah. If you had gone down there and your pitching staff had gotten beaten up and your offense had scored what they normally score and your pitching staff had gotten beaten up, we would be talking today about the fact that, man, we're just – you can't win pitching like that, right? I'm not going to act like Baylor's offense is the best in the Big 12 or anything and that you held them in check, but you did a decent job pitching. I thought it was progress pitching. I think the week as a whole showed some good progress pitching, and that's why, despite the fact that I'm disappointed with what happened as far as wins and losses go on the weekend, I still feel good about the fact that I think this was a step forward week pitching-wise, okay? There's a lot of baseball left to be played. Yes, you've kind of put yourself in a little bit of a hole here, no question about it. And so at some point, you're going to have to put it all together.
Yeah.
But the pitching started to turn in the right direction, in my opinion.
I agree.
Okay? Yeah. And so if you'd gone down there and scored, you know, 8, 9, 10 runs a game and still came away with a series loss, I would be getting to the point where I was like, I just don't think we're going to have it pitching-wise this year.
Yeah, okay? I completely agree with that.
So
I would say the pitching.
Choose joy, Clint.
I would say the pitching turned, you know, for like most everybody except for one guy. Now I'm worried about.
Ryan Freeze.
Ryan Free. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, Ryan just. I mean, he gives up. He gets behind, works the count full, gives up a hard hit. You know, single up the middle. Not the end of the world, right? But the key at bat in that inning was the next batter. He gets ahead, and he chops one, and it bounces. Just a high chop that gets over the head of McGee at third, who was in tight because he was preparing for a sacrifice bunt, okay? Normally, that's a ground ball. You're at least getting one out at second. I mean, it's an easy play. He ends up, you know, losing a breaking ball and hitting the next guy, and Coach Tadlock makes the change. Sanders hits a guy, gives up a single. So all those runs come across. I think Ryan Free is going to be fine. I know he didn't look great Wednesday either, but I think, you know, that was just a little funk for him. I think he'll be fine.
Y'all keep chiming in. There's some baseball thoughts. Got some basketball thoughts. We'll see how many brackets Jamie has filled out up to this point. And got a question of the day. Coming your way next. You're listening to The Bottom Line on 100.7 The Score.
getting to the point, but taking the scenic route to get there. This is the Bottom Line Podcast from 100.7 The Score.
Glad to be part of your Monday. You listen to the Bottom Line, 100.7 The Score and 107thescore.com. I'm Choice Woodman, sitting next to the bastion of joy, Jamie Lent. Clint Scott.
Don't say that too fast.
I thought you were going a different word there.
Bastion of joy? What did you think I was going to go?
It's just something inglorious.
Oh, okay. All right. Took me a little bit. Thank you.
That's what I was thinking.
Something inglorious. That really helped me out, Clint. Yeah. Well done. Well done. Lots more from the chat line. We do not need a Kissing Jayhawks drop. We'll return to some of that. How about a football question today?
How about it?
Time now for Jamie's question of the day, brought to you by someone not named Jamie.
Jamie, they start spring football tomorrow. They being the Texas Tech football team.
That's fun.
So they get that whole thing underway. We'll culminate with a spring game about a month from now in Midland. My question to the group is if Texas Tech is going to be a top four team in the Big 12 this year, like several people are projecting after we didn't want to get hurt last year, if Tech's going to be a top four team in the Big 12, Baron Morton has to be a blank quarterback in the Big 12, a top blank.
Okay. So you're looking for me to say where he has to rank as far as Big 12 quarterbacks go?
He has to be in the top what in order for Texas Tech to be a top four team in the Big 12? Because if you look at a lot of the, the fodder, the chatter about the Big 12 and quarterbacks returning, that sort of thing, he's really not mentioned much. And I think that's probably fair because he hadn't really put together a full season. Some due to injury, some due to not playing super excellent. But basically I'm saying he's been overlooked, whether fair or not, by most. So what if Tech's going to finish in the top four of the Big 12, Baron Morton has to finish as a top what quarterback in the Big 12?
Top one healthiest quarterback in the Big 12 conference.
The healthiest.
Because I think if he's healthy, I mean, he doesn't have to be the best numbers-wise. If he's healthy, I think he's going to be solid, above average. And I think what you have around him offensively will allow him to have good numbers. And so if he's the healthiest, you would think that means he's starting every game, right?
Well, who's ahead of him right now in that conversation? You got probably Jalen Daniels.
Yes, if he's ever healthy.
Did I say it right? Jalen.
Jalen.
I always mix those up. I thought I had it right, and then I panicked. Jalen Daniels, I'd say if he's healthy, he's ahead of him.
Cam Rising for Utah has been there
forever. Cam Rising for Utah, mm-hmm. that's a fair one. Garrett Green, right now he's...
I'd say they're in the same conversation.
But I would say most would say he's better at this point because he's played more.
All right.
A lot of hype around, is it Tafiti at Arizona?
No.
No?
It's...
I think it's Graffiti.
Graffiti.
What is his name? Okay, not Kyler Murray. That's not who I'm looking for.
Oh,
apparently when you type in Arizona quarterback. Tafiti. Fafita. I think you went with someone from the movie Maui, but that was a good try.
Yeah.
So
that
Maui,
guy.
Moana. That's what I was going. See, I can't even get the movie name right.
I think he's probably in the top five or six quarterbacks.
Is Alan Bowman ahead of him? I think a lot of people would put him there right now. As the seventh year senior. Shadur Sanders?
Embarrassing. Yes, Sanders.
Mm-hmm. A lot of these, I can't even tell you who's the quarterback.
Like the cat at Kansas State, sophomore.
Oh, yeah.
Avery Johnson.
Avery Johnson.
Thank you.
The cat. I see what you did there. Hey-o. For the Wildcats.
Why do cats? Oh, that's
stuff it, please. I mean, I don't know. Is Avery Johnson ahead of him right now? They're probably same conversation.
Yeah.
I couldn't tell you who UCF's guy is this year. Oh, didn't no? They got
Jefferson, the Arizona transfer, Arkansas transfer.
He's probably projected right now ahead of where he is. So I look at it and I think
BYU's Gary Bohannon, formerly Baylor and South Florida.
Arizona State's the one that was the NIL dude from Florida.
Yes, Jaden Rashada. Hakuna Rashada.
So there's some good quarterbacks in this league, or, you know, I think most people, I would say the majority of the league looks at their quarterback like Texas Tech looks at their quarterback and says, we hope he's going to be really good this year. There's potential there, mm-hmm. and we hope he's going to be really good. But there's not a ton of skins on the wall for a lot of these guys.
Yeah, I think he's top half of the league. I mean, again, I'd said five or six. I think that's about where.
And that's where he needs to be? Is that the answer to the question?
Yeah.
Needs to be.
Yeah, I don't think this needs to be all about Baron Morton.
Six was the number that dropped in my mind. And I think a big part of that is I think that gives you some wiggle room to have a big year with the running game as well, mm-hmm. and make up some of that, and then, you know, hopefully another really good defensive year. So six kind of seems like if you were really going either statistically or just how you view their season from a talent perspective, six kind of feels like that baseline if you're going to finish fourth or higher.
I think so.
I think that's a good number.
Yeah, you've got to be that six was exactly where I was as well. You don't have to be top four in the league to finish top four necessarily because you have Taj Brooks in the backfield with you, because you have leaned on the defense more in the last couple of years and been able to find some success with that. But top four is territory you haven't been in a really long time. So the reverse of this is, or the inverse of this is, you look at Tech's most successful years in the last couple of decades, and it's come with good quarterback play.
Sure.
It's come with quarterbacks a lot of times carrying the team.
You haven't had as quality of a running back as you have right now.
No. Honestly, you haven't. I mean, the only other instance you can point to that is DeAndre Washington in the last 10-15 years.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I agree. It doesn't have to be Baron Morton carrying this team where he's a top two quarterback in this league. But I think he's still – I mean, honestly, if you're top six, it probably means you're upright. It probably means you're healthy.
Yeah.
And that's, like you said at the beginning, the most important thing.
Yep.
We'll see. So, is there anybody you're watching out for in the spring? I really do hate that we don't get to see Micah Hudson in the spring, that he's hurt. Because I think most people would have been very – keyed in on getting to go to the spring game just to get your first peek at him, because everything else is, well, we've seen that guy and we know who that is, and on the defensive side you don't really learn a ton during spring football or spring games, mm-hmm. So I'm trying to think, is there anybody else that we're super excited about seeing in spring football?
I'm excited to see Josh Kelly.
True. Yeah.
I'm excited to see him.
Josh Kelly, I think on the defensive side, the Baylor transfer that didn't play last year, McCarthy, I'll be interested to see just because you're filling holes in the defensive backfield there. See how some of these freshmen come along on the defensive line that looked good towards the end of the year, Amir Washington and those sorts. But Morton, he'll be one of the key guys.
This has been the Bottom Line Podcast from 100.7 The Score. Go to 100-7thescore.com for more from the Double T Sports Network.